Okay, good morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Orient ourselves as to why we're here, that all that we do will be glorifying to Him, and not just a procedure, a ritual. So let's begin with prayer. History, Heavenly Father, is constantly changing, constantly moving toward the fulfillment of your plan for the world, for Israel, and for the church. Nothing is going to stay constant except the fulfillment of your plan, which will come quickly. We have the distinct privilege of living at this time to glorify your Son, walk in your Spirit, let the invisible forces of darkness know that there are those who still believe in Jesus Christ and seek to glorify Him. Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son, and the power and leading of your Spirit. Father, we pray these things not for ourselves, but for the glory of Christ. In whose precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's begin with song. Several years ago, when we were over off of Arapahoe, Stuart and Julia came and from Africa, Zambia, and I don't know how many of you remember them, and it was really nice having Stuart and, his wife here. Well, Stuart went home to be with the Lord Friday and died of a heart attack. And that happens about his age. He's about 50. And you don't see very many old people in any of the countries in Africa. Maybe in some of the cities, but not out. You don't see very many. When Pat showed that picture of me dancing with that older man in Nigeria, he was one of the oldest men that I saw the whole time I was there. And he was only 55, but he looked old. But Stuart went home, so we want to be in prayer for his wife, Julia. It just so happened that Dan and Pat are coming here tonight from Tulsa. In fact, they're going to be in Cameron. They've been getting the kids ready to go to Mexico in December. And they leave for Africa tomorrow to Zambia. And he was going to meet with Stuart and all. And so I'm going to be in prayer for Dan and Pat traveling here and then traveling to Zambia. Trip in Zambia, be in prayer for Julie. Julia's Stuart's widow. And he's got Dan and I kind of grin with 6 or 7 kids. We never really got it tied down how many kids he had. But he's got a truckload of kids, and a lot of them are older now. But it's a little uncertain what's going to happen to the Institute. It was almost uncertain even before he went home with the Lord. But need to be in prayer for Stuart and his family. Need to be in prayer for the pastors of Zambia. And so got that in mind. Don Becker, one of our members, listens to all of our lessons, had a surgery Friday, and he's doing well. But let's just be in prayer for Don to have a healthy, speedy recovery. And his wife, Nancy, suffering from still not really healed from her a fractured hip. We need to be in prayer for Eve as she continues. Are you pretty much? You're fine. You can get out. You can get out and jog now and everything. Okay. A lot of you may remember my friend Mick Bell. He's also I listened to every class, but his mother had a hip replacement, and it caused a lot of complications with where she's going to be. She was in a home. They took her from a home hospital. The home took up her place, and so he's kind of in turmoil of what's going to happen. But what's interesting is the doctor that did his mother's surgery, hip replacement, and Mickey spent several hours at different times together. He wants some of our disc. And he started talking with Mickey, and he said, you know, my wife and I right now, we're looking for something that teaches the Bible, and we haven't found anything in the Tyler area. And so Mickey's just started talking to him, and he wants to get on this thing. So we'd be in prayer for the doctor, for Mickey's mother, and for Mickey and Mike. I've known him as Mickey, but he goes by Mike now that he's an adult. And but need to be in prayer for Mike and his family, his mother, and things going on in Mike's life to handle all these problems that are going on. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Okay, we need to continue to be in prayer for Tish. She continues to deal with her cancer. Nathan's home and doing okay. So, all right. And so that's good. All's well. Brian, how you doing, sir?
Much better.
Much better. Yes. Good. All right. Your wife quit beating you up and everything. That's good. That always makes a difference when they quit beating you up. Okay. The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly nor out of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. Gracious giver is defined as one who has personally accepted Christ as Savior, but knows how to be filled with the Spirit by faith, because the offering is dependent on being led of the Spirit. If I give everything that I own, so that I myself become poor, but do not have love, it profiteth nothing, Paul said. So it's not just the giving, it's giving in the power of the Spirit. these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to this facet of worship. It's our custom to take a moment to reflect the two great spheres of freedom that are involved to exercise this worship. In the physical realm, the political, economic freedom that we enjoy in this country to do with our lives and our resources as we see fit. This country's been an experiment in history, unlike any other country in church history. And like all experiments, it's not destined to last forever. But we have enjoyed and do enjoy a wonderful freedom. And to make the decisions about our lives and our money and where we want to live and what we want to do with our time, who we want to marry, why, go to church if at all, and why. And we cross that freedom, Father, with the great freedom wherewith we have been set free through the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It's in the spiritual realm of freedom that we have eyes to see how to use our political economic freedom. The multitude of decisions that are our responsibility. We have the eyes to see through the power of your Spirit the freedom we have in Christ to do with our lives. Do with our money, do with our time, marry whom we wish, live where we wish, worship at the church we wish. All these wonderful decisions that were led by your Spirit. And Father, we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, and that you will continue to use these offerings, the spreading of the gospel to both unbeliever and believer. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer. Test yourself. See if you're trusting His Spirit. His Spirit is the teacher. And listen to what He has to say. And so let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we consider it a great privilege to assemble ourselves this morning with other believers who are like-minded for the purpose of worshiping You in spirit and in truth. Pray that all that we do this morning, Your Spirit will open our eyes to things You'd have us to see in the text that is before us. Pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Many Christians are experiencing some post-election jitters, thinking that all is lost. And by all, was generally meant as traditional America. As well we should. We have elected a president who has openly declared, nothing secret, that he plans on changing our Constitution. In fact, he lays blame, and he's done this in public speaking, at our forefathers who wrote the Declaration of Independence and Constitution for not giving the government responsibility taking care of the people. He wants to change the Constitution to where this is done. Not realizing, not knowing, not being taught, I'm sure, not being taught in any level of school, that's exactly what our forefathers meant to do, was not to give the government that place, that responsibility. That's why they escaped Europe. The very things he seeks for this country is why our forefathers came to this country. Never have we had a president who has openly declared he wants to change our foundation, our fundamental documents. And most Americans agree. The foundation of this country is changing. Unfortunately, I haven't really checked it out, but I don't think too many Americans are schooled in the French Revolution, the Russian Revolution, and so on. If you are, you watch for key words in the French Revolution, the Russian Revolution, most revolutions. Change, reform, for the common good. To have reform, economic reform, social reform, there must be change. You must change the family. You must change the social order. You must change the moral order if you're going to have reform, by definition. For reform, there must be change. Ignorance of history is one of the worst things that can happen, even in the study of the Bible, but secular history. And we're just not trained in thinking through history about man and his interaction with each other. So he's declared he wants to change our Constitution, change the social order, change our military, lower the budget to dismantle the supreme military force in the world. But I wonder if that's really all that bad. We don't really need a powerful military anymore, because we're going to collapse from within. It's not going to be a Russian invasion, communist invasion, tanks, planes, and ships. It's not going to be that anymore. We have a great military and we don't even use it. We haven't used it. What good is it? We're not going to go win a war. We're cowards. We're lions led by sheep. Collapse from within, judicially, morally, and the one that I can deal with, spiritually. Our current elect president plans on talking with terrorists and terrorist states. Instead of talking about our military, he talks about a private militia. If you know history, the private militia is not going to be used against foreign forces. It's used against your own people. That's why you have a private militia, to keep in line your own people. That's why you have it. Not to deal with the outside forces. You've got your military for that. It's to keep in line people that don't agree with you. Against American citizens. And he has openly declared he seeks to change our economic system from a collapsing democracy into a socialistic state. I really wonder how many Americans, elementary, junior high school, college, know the difference. I wonder how many can talk about the difference between a socialistic state and a democracy and a republic, and know the difference. So many Americans, what's wrong with a socialistic state? What's wrong with spreading the wealth? What's wrong with we're not trained to think in our educational system. Not trained to think. And continue the removal. One of the underlying plots that has been going on throughout my entire lifetime, from my childhood on, has been the removal of the influence of God from this nation. It has been very well designed. Our president-elect prefers a nation of religions as much superior to one that recognizes the sovereignty of God, talked about in our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence. There has been a designed movement for these reforms and changes, and it started with removing the Bible. Remove the Bible from the judicial systems. This has been going on now for decades. You remove that book, people, you have no defense against the lie. You have no defense. Once you reject the truth, you have no defense against the lie. Think about it. Remove the Bible. What defense do you have in changing the whole definition of a family? Homosexuality, lesbianism, all that stuff. What's your defense? You have none. We're all animals. We're just a higher animal breed, and these things don't matter. There's no God, no heaven, no hell, no moral right, and we've let them remove it. We've let them remove it. Remove the Bible. What defense do you have against anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian state in Jerusalem, which is what he advocates, taking Jewish land and giving it to them? Please look at Genesis 12 a moment, one of the most important passages in the Bible for the United States of America. Genesis chapter 12. And I mean this. This is not just because I'm a priest. This is one of the most fundamental truths for the United States of America. Genesis chapter 12. abortion, when America let abortion, that did it. When America did this, that did America. No, no, no. We're going to show you one of the most fundamental truths throughout history. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, this is Abraham, and from your relatives, from your father's house, to the land which I will show you, I, God, will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you, I will curse. Take the Bible out, people. What defense do we have for Israel? Name it! Name one reason that we ought to take the side of Israel if you remove the Bible. Jews, Palestinians, Arabs, all over. What reason do you have? You have none. None! And we've let them remove the Bible. So what defense do we have? How can we say, no, you're wrong? On what basis do you tell me I'm wrong in a Palestinian state? What basis do you say I'm wrong in one of these Jews over here and over there? Get rid of them. You have none. Because we've let them remove the Bible. Over half of America is no longer even Christian. And most Christians do not even know or believe Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Those who bless you, I bless. Those who curse you, I curse. There's not a more important decision than our decision about Israel. And he's already let us know his stand. But right here is one of the strong reasons why America has been prospered, people, in my opinion. It's my opinion. It's one of the strongest reasons right there is why this country has been blessed. Because we've always, since almost the beginning of the 20th century, blessed Israel. Took up the cause of Israel. And I firmly believe that is one reason that God Almighty has blessed this country as no other country has been blessed. Got to understand their place in history. We're in the church age. We're not the lost tribe of Israel. We're not Jews and all that. We're the church. We're the bride of Christ. But they're God's people. And he has a plan. And it's moving toward that plan. Most Christians don't even know it. Choices. Arabs, Palestinians, Israel, Jews, Hebrew, all these things determine what God's going to do with this country. But we don't believe in this God anymore. He's just one of many gods. Why should we care? We've already removed him from our judicial system. You remove the Bible, people, and you have no defense against the lie. And where I'm going with this is, not only nationally, but in your own individual life. Remove the Bible from the judicial system, and we've allowed it. Remove the Bible from our educational system, and we've allowed it. We have no defense against the lie. Can't pray, can't have Easter, can't have Christmas, can't have this, can't have that. People, we've changed our foundation. It's changed. We've run our 200 years course with a period of a democracy. Remove the Bible from our judicial system, you have no defense against social change. You have no defense against changing the family, changing and supporting homosexuality, realizing how bad that is to the soul. All these things that happen in our society through the judicial system. Why can the Supreme Court make the decisions it's done? Because it no longer adheres to the Bible. It looks at man as an animal, a higher breed of animal. That's all we are, people. A higher breed of an animal. For 40 years, there's been this movement to remove the Bible from our educational system. Our educational system doesn't teach people to think anymore. Learn the facts, SAT, entertainment. But learn how to think. Arithmetic. Learn how to think. The social order. Learn the ramifications if you do this and you do that. All these things. Again, very few Americans, I think, could discuss between the difference between a republic, democracy, socialism, not to mention communism, capitalism, and fascism. That's a shame, people. Those were heart and core things when I was in school. Those were simple things. Our education system has changed. And we've taught our people who are now adults not to think. Not to think clearly through things. What happens when you redistribute? Well, what happens when you do this? What happens when you do that? Not to think. To be taken care of and entertained. We are an entertained society. Gaius Julius Caesar came at the fall of the Republic. He said, what we got to do is entertain these people. We got to entertain them. That was his genius. That kept Rome going a while. Just get them entertained. Remove the Bible from judicial system. Why? Think about it. Why do you want to remove the Bible from the judicial system? From the Supreme Court and all the sub-courts? Federal, state, local. Remove the Bible from the educational system. Why do that? Why do you have to remove that book? What's the design of the adversary? And most important of all, people, remove the Bible from the churches. Remove the Bible from the churches. Why? We have a new president who does not have a secret agenda. He has made it clear he seeks to change our Constitution, our military, our economics, our medical industry, our social order. He's made it clear. And an overwhelming number of Americans voted for these changes. I'm going to stand alone and more alone and more alone. I think many Americans kind of do not really believe the newly elected president really meant all these things. Yes, he did, people. He meant them. He meant them. Now, over here I can say, like over the years we say, well, I hope he keeps his promises. I hope he doesn't keep his promises. But he meant them. Make no doubt about it. Why do you think his education and his writings and all these things are only now being revealed and have been hidden from us? Why do you think that? Why do you think his mentality is to shut those up that don't agree, hide the truth of these things? This is his mentality. Well, the first thing that's going to happen about June of next year, next summer, is the Fairness Act. And you know what may happen? We may get radio-free Mexico. What they don't want you to hear in America. A lot of these independent conservative shows are going to have to go somewhere else. So it's going to be like in World War II, Radio Free Europe. It's going to be Radio Free Mexico. What they don't want you to hear in America. And the reason I think that's one of the first things we'll see, because that's already in place with the Fairness Act. It's already there. So he plans on doing these things, and he means it. Now, this has caused some concern with Christian Americans. And by the way, many Christians voted for this anti-God president, this anti-Jesus Christ president. Not just not believing in Christ, people. I'm not talking about that. Anti-Christ. Antichrist. Many Jews voted for this man who has promised great anti-Semitic policies, anti-Israel policies, and they voted for him. We don't know how to think. Our educational system has taught us how not to think. Now, why are so many Christians concerned about all of this? And I mean, why? Why indeed? Where has your faith been? Just play poker with me. Where has your faith been throughout your life? Were you secretly, was I secretly, without knowing, trusting in America? Trusting in our Declaration of Independence? Trusting in our Constitution? Where's your faith been? Remember, you can claim whatever you want. Truth is another issue. Many Christians made America synonymous with Christianity, singing patriotic hymns as though they were hymns to God. So let's start off with a very important point this morning. The Declaration of Independence, as profound a document as it is, was written by man. Our Constitution, as a profound doctrine as it is, was written by man. In fact, to tell the truth, men who may have believed in God, not necessarily believers in Jesus Christ, and certainly no indication of knowing how to be filled with the Spirit by faith. But these are documents written by men, and people do not misunderstand and do not hear me incorrectly. I'm a patriot. I love those two documents. But they're written by man. Now let's look at a document written by God. And His Word abides forever. Please look at Jeremiah 17, please. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, we'll start looking at verse 5. Thus saith the Lord. Not man, the Lord. It's a tetragrammaton. It refers to the second member of the Godhead, Jesus Christ our Savior. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Now please pay close attention to the four parts of this verse. Look at your text. I decided no PowerPoint, no overhead. I'm just talking with you. I'm just talking with you, your pastor. So let's look at the four parts of this verse in your text. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departed from the Lord. Let's look at the word cursed. It's a cow passive participle. And why would I bring that out in this kind of a speech? People, this passive voice is important to us, but I'll come to that. It's a cow passive participle. The Hebrew word cursed means to be inflicted with a curse. Now, there are many Hebrew words translated cursed. This word means to bind, to be hemmed in, to be hemmed in by obstacles, to render powerless. So, rendered powerless, hemmed in, bound, be the man who trusteth in man. It's what happens when you trust in man. And that passive voice is important. The subject receives the action of the verb. Man receives being hemmed in by the decisions we make. It's an automatic thing. Stand here and drop a hammer on my foot, I'm going to hurt my toe. You trust man, you're going to be hemmed in. You're going to be cut off. You're going to be rendered powerless. Look at the object that you're trusting. He does not make a decision, man, you and I, to be hemmed in. We don't make that decision. He does make a decision that will cause him to receive being hemmed in. That's the kicker. That's what I'm talking about, not learning how to think. Gotta learn how to think. If I take the hammer and drop it on my foot without a shaboom, that's gonna hurt. Let me think this through now. This piece of iron gonna hit my foot. My foot is very flexible. It's gonna break and I'm gonna hurt. We can't think that way. If I trust in man, I'm gonna be hemmed in. Can't do that thinking. If I trust in man, I'm going to be rendered powerless. Got to be able to think. These are results of decisions made. Cursed, hemmed in, the man. All right, people, this brings us to both unbelievers and believers. And we have three different words for man in this verse. Three different words. If we were studying the verse, I'd go through all this, but look at it. Cursed is the man, that's one word, who trusts in man, that's a different word, that makes flesh his arm, that's a different word. In one little phrase, or these phrases, we've got three different words for man. The first word, cursed is man. The word is Gerber, and it means the foundation, the basic structure of man as opposed to being God. Cursed is man who trusts in man. Man, therefore, is Adam, the second one. Member of the human race, not unlike yourself. Flesh. That's Basher. Identification of man with the earth, the weakness of man. The flesh dramatizes the weakness. Cursed, hemmed in, the man. What are the actions that cause man to be hemmed in? Look at them. That trusteth in man. Okay, people, we're at the heart of the whole issue. In the spiritual realm of life, political, economic, everything. Faith. What are you trusting? What are you trusting? So, Cal imperfect, it means batak, basic word for trust, faith, finding confidence in, safety, security in. And the object of man's faith is man. I've removed the Bible. I've removed God. I'm left with man and man's institutions. I have no choice. So the object of our faith becomes man. This refers not just to man, but to those things that come from man. Institutions, governments. These things that come from man, trusteth in man. I remember in 911, I had friends, I'm never going to fly again and all this. Hey, what was your faith? If your faith was in a plane, a pilot, all these things, your faith was in the wrong thing. You better not drive. Better not drive a car. Where was your faith? Oh, terrorists made us. If your faith was in all this structure, the structure of America are going to prevent that, a plane, a pilot, and all this. Faith was in the wrong thing, people. There's nothing like having our faith tested. What do we really believe in? We've been rolling along for 50, 60 years pretty good in this country. Things are changing. We can find out what we really believe in, what we're really trusting. Cursed, hemmed in the man that trusteth in man. Now this challenge is directed to two groups in our study. First, to those multitudes who are placing great faith and confidence in the hope in the newly elected president. the Messiah of America, the Messiah of the Muslims. They're cursed. Putting their confidence in a man. He's going to make my economics wonderful. Boy, he's going to take from those rich people and give it to me. He's going to give me medicine. He's going to take care of me from the womb to the grave. They're hemmed in. They've lost freedom. They sold it out. And they don't understand the damage of that. People, freedom is for a rare breed. It's for a rare breed. It's why America was an experiment. It's for people who say, I want responsibility for myself. I want to take care of my home, my life. If my house burns down, I don't expect the government to come along and rebuild it. I plan on doing this and just take care of myself. I don't want the government coming in and doing that. It's a rare breed of person. I want to take care of my own. If I foul up, if I mess up my marriage, I mess up my life, I become a drug addict, a dope, all these things, then that's what I want. But I want the freedom to be able to do those things. If I want to make the right decisions and do this and do this and do this and all, then that. But I don't want the government taking care of me. That's a rare people. And those people aren't around too much anymore. Most Americans want to be taken care of. Hospital, education, welfare, everything. Entertainment. Take care of me. I don't want to make those decisions. I don't want that responsibility. And I'm going to say that's okay in the sense of a society has to make up that mind. And when you do that, you change the structure of the government that you want over you. And it's been going on and on and on now. That's why Christ, in talking to the woman at the well, a time is coming and now is when they who worship me will worship me in the filling of the Spirit and in the truth of I am, not in Jerusalem, in a temple in Jerusalem. That's a rare breed. You and I are a rare breed in the spiritual realm. We don't go to a temple. We worship wherever we are. We can worship in Dallas. We can worship wherever we are. We walk in the power of the Spirit of God. We don't have a church ruling over us. We don't have a preacher ruling over us. We don't have somebody dictating, controlling our lives. But people want a church that'll do that. People want to be controlled under their legalism. Freedom is a dangerous commodity. You can destroy your life. You can do something with it. And we've moved to where most people don't want that freedom. But it not only applies to those, it also is directed to those Christians in America who have been placing their faith in America in documents written by man, in a constitution, in a Declaration of Independence, not in the Bible written by God. First also applies to those even in marriage who place their confidence in their marriage, trusting their husband, trusting their wife. You don't do that. God didn't tell us to do that. He said, you love one another. You trust me. People, right down to where we live, what do you really trust? Do you trust one another? Do you trust a document by man? Do you trust a system written by man? Or do you trust in the Spirit of the living God? Do you trust in the Son of the living God? Do you trust in God Himself? This is going to be the whole contest of all these things. And this is seen by the next phrase. Look at the next phrase. That makes flesh His arm. Now, here is a word that goes along with faith. That makes flesh His arm. Maketh. The Hebrew verb means to appoint, to call upon, to put in charge. Man puts in charge. He puts in charge. He puts his confidence in his arm. Now the arm is used throughout the Bible and even non-biblical writings for strength, power, deliverance. I mean, we have, remember, the little armor thing you put in your refrigerator, and it's the arm. And we have the Charles Atlas, and it's the arm. And the big heroes, and it's their arms are always dramatized. Their pecs also, but their arms. It's always a sign of strength. Arm wrestling. Little boys, let's arm wrestle. That's where the strength is. Who can beat who in arm wrestling? It's a place of strength. He makes the flesh his power. His strength, his deliverance. Job 40 verse 9 says, or do you have an arm like God? No. Then why do you put your confidence and you make the arm of man your security? Don't have an arm like God. No, but man still places his faith. He trusts in man. He trusts in the things of man. Okay, cursed, hemmed in, the man who trusts in man, that makes flesh his arm. Why does he do this? Okay, look at the last phrase. Whose heart departed from the Lord. People, the heart, this is the place of battle. This is why we're not animals. I'm sorry. This is why there's no evolution. This is what separates us. This is what lives forever. We're not animals. We're not machinery. Physics, under the laws of physics, you take care of this, you take care of that, you take care of the machine. That's what the government wants to do. That's what our newly elected president has assessed the people to be. They need to be taken care of like a machine. You take care of a machine. You clean it, you oil it, take care of the parts, you do these things. It's your responsibility. We're not machines. I'm sorry. Who we have sex with does make a difference. Moral conduct affects the soul. No, it doesn't. Men can sleep with men, women with women, promiscuity, all this stuff. Doesn't. We're just animals. You know, there are some animal kingdoms in the animal kingdom that don't do that. But even those that do, we're not animal. We're heart. Whose heart? You're different, people. You're created in the image of God. It's going to live forever. The heart is a place of battle. The heart is the place of decisions of faith. Whose heart departeth from the Lord. The Hebrew word here to depart means to remove. People, this is the first step. You start departing from the Lord. And when you start departing from the Lord, you turn to the lie. You start turning to other solutions, other answers. And you turn to man. America has turned from God. Taking the Bible out of our judicial system, taking the Bible out of our educational system, taking the Bible out of our churches. Have nothing left. Remove the truth. You turn to the lie. And there's no defense against the lie when you reject the truth. What defense do you have? You have none. What defense do we have against Arabs over the Israelites? None. Take the Bible out. What defense do you have of moral conduct, of order, judicial decisions, if you take the Bible out? You have none. You have none. You trust in man to take care of you. And all the while, Romans chapter 1, claiming to be wise. Claim to be wise. Take the Bible out. Do your own thinking. We claim to be wise. The Bible has been removed from our churches. Christians do not want, across this country, Bible teaching. Now, many go to a church where the preacher may hold up the Bible, may read a couple of verses or something, and then give a nice, emotional, stimulating, feel-good sermon. Preachers of large denominations, the largest church, I guess, in America, in Houston, the preacher has gone on national television, I am not a Bible teacher, I don't teach the Bible. And he bragged about it. Doesn't give the gospel. Pastors, people, I'm not talking about people in the church, pastors, openly, I don't believe these stories in the Bible. Then what in the hell are you doing teaching it if you don't believe it? Why are you up there saying, I don't believe these stories? I don't believe in Adam and Eve. I don't believe in Jonah and the whale. I don't believe in Samson. Then why are you a teacher of this book? You're a liar. But why are all those people sitting under you? Why are all those people flocking to hear you? We've removed the Bible. We've removed the Bible. Multitudes do not believe. Multitudes do not believe salvation is by faith in Christ alone. Faith alone in Christ alone. Then what good is this book if you take that out? We've turned away from the Bible. We've turned away from the Bible. Just make us feel good in church. All across this nation, churches where the Bible used to be taught verse by verse is on the decline, smaller and smaller. Even here, people, we get maybe 6 people on Tuesday, Wednesday night. 6! Now, I do my study as though it was 600. 6 or 7 people, depending on the Friday or the Tuesday or Wednesday night. I don't know what you're doing. Apathy. Complacent. It's there. What's wrong with our country? It's the church. It's not the judicial system. It's not the educational system. It's the church. Men are not trained to study and teach the Bible. People don't want it. They don't want it, then you get the kind of preacher you do want. You get the movement you want. It's the church has failed America. The pulpit. The pulpit has failed this country. Not the Justice Department. Not the educational system. The pulpit has let this country down. Cursed, hemmed in, the man who trusts in man, that makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Now look at verse 7 for the contrast. Look at verse 7 for the contrast. Blessed. Oh God, what a beautiful word. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. The Hebrew word for blessed refers to a blessing from God. I'm not even going to deal beyond just the beauty of the word itself. Trust is the key to this blessing. And whose trust is the Lord. The word translated trust here is the same root as the previous word. The last. See, you have trust. Verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. Now the King James says, who's in the second phrase, whose hope is in the Lord. The NIV translates that last phrase, whose confidence is in the Lord. The New American Standard stayed the closest because the word is basically the same root word for trust. The other translation just wanted to give it a kick. So I have no problem with hope in the Lord. I have no problem with confidence in the Lord. But faith is the battle. And I like what the New American Standard did here. Who trust in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. Powerful. Not a document written by man. Not a system proposed by man. Not a man. But the Lord. But the Lord. This person who's blessed does not make flesh his strength. He places his confidence, his hope, his trust in the Lord. Let's look at the contrast in your life. Inner happiness, inner peace, Do you have that regardless of circumstances? Cursed is the man who trusts in man, whose strength he makes flesh. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is in the Lord. Can you have inner happiness, inner peace? Has America become socialistic? Or do you depend on a system? Depend on the prosperity? Do you depend on the freedom that we have enjoyed? Or can you really have it regardless? Let's read our passage, verse 5. Thus says the Lord, hemmed in, cut off from power, cursed is the man whose trust in man and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from God. Then verse 6, for he will be like a bush in the desert, and will not see when prosperity comes. People, you can't even see the prosperity when you got your confidence in man. But will live in stony waste in wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Contrast, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. People, this is Lord Jesus Christ, Lord God the Father, Lord the Holy Spirit. Walk by faith. Whose trust is the Lord. Verse 8, for thee, one who puts your faith in him, will be like a tree planted by the water, the Holy Spirit, that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat of time, of contrast, of confliction in history and all the things that happen, when heat comes, but its leaves will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. You trusting in a document by man? Or are you trusting in a document written by God, trusting in God Himself? Let's look at Isaiah 26 a moment, please. Go back toward the front of your Bible, Isaiah 26. People, it's too late to put the Bible back in the judicial system. It's not going to happen. It's too late to put the Bible back in the educational system. It's not going to happen. And this is a personal opinion. I don't believe it'll get back into the churches either. I don't think preachers coming up want to. I don't think people want it. But can you still be happy? Inner peace and joy. Let's take a look. Isaiah 26:3. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace. See, I like the New American Standard here, because the King thou will keep in perfect peace, his mind is stayed on thee. I like this because it starts with you and me. Keep your mind trusting in him. What will be the result of that? He will keep you in perfect peace. Perfect peace is a peace that doesn't depend on the overt, doesn't depend on circumstances. It's something going on in your soul. Why? Because he trusts in thee. Trust in the Lord forever. For in God, the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. Don't put your faith in the flesh of man, the arm of man, but in this everlasting rock. And I want to close in Galatians. If you'll turn to Galatians chapter 5 with a very important phrase that most of the time we don't pay much attention to. But I think it's time that we note it. Very important little phrase in Galatians 5. That throughout my life has never been an issue, but it may start becoming one. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, whom we're studying on Wednesday night, the sending of the Spirit of truth, is love, joy, inner happiness, inner peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But I want you to look at the last phrase. Against such things, there is no law. But you think about that. Whether in freedom or slavery, whether you're a free man or in prison, whether you're in capitalism or socialism, there is no law against the fruit of the Spirit. There is no law against inner peace. There is no law against inner happiness. There is no law against spiritual love. There is no law against these things. There may be laws against this, and the government wants to do this for you, and the government plans this, and you don't get to do what you want with your money. If money's taken away from you, this happens and that happens, and you've got to lower your standard of living. You've got to change. Does that affect your happiness, your peace, your joy? If it does, your faith is in the wrong thing. The wrong object. Do whatever they want. It should not hamper your inner happiness, your inner peace, your joy one bit. All people, I'm not saying it isn't tough to go from freedom to socialism and all of these things and have these things happen. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about inside of where we live, though, day in and day out, and our relationship with our husband and our wife and our family and our friends, the church. Where's your faith? Where's your confidence? These Divine Nine offers more than any system could ever offer. More than any system. Thomas Jefferson wisely said, the pursuit of happiness. Well, I find my happiness in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Against such things, there is no law, and the government doesn't even give me that. God gave it to me. Government can't touch it. It comes from God. You can experience all of these, the inner peace, the inner happiness, not dependent on overt circumstances. And people, no system can take these away from you. There is no system that can take these away. They could come and put us in prison. They cannot take these away. Only you can do that. Only you can let them take it away. Only you can decide, I don't want this inner peace. I don't want this inner happiness. I'm not going to walk by faith in the Spirit of the living God. I'm miserable. The world is terrible. The system of government's terrible. My wife's terrible. The boss is terrible. Our economic system's terrible. My husband's terrible. Everything's terrible. No. You've made a decision. You don't want this happiness. No one can take it away from you. You made a decision. I don't want to walk by faith in the Spirit of God. I want to hold on to a system of government. I want to hold on to a dream. I want to hold on to a concept. I don't want to walk by faith in the Spirit of the living God. I don't want to hold on to this book. In America, we've taken the Bible away. In China, they meet in groups of 25 around this book. 25, all over China, in the millions now. No more than 25. Little house group. That's how much they want this book. In America, we don't want it. We don't want Bible teaching. We're complacent. Have apathy about it. We've been there, done that. things are changing, and we have to make up our mind, what are we going to trust? Flesh, man, systems of man, or God? Our God. Let's close with standing and singing hymn number 198. Then we'll close in prayer. Hymn number 198. Closing prayer. Heavenly Father, pray you'll take the things that we've seen, your text, pray they will bear fruit inside of our own souls and then in our own lives and then in this local church. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.